Welcome to the Stuff in Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, Stuff in Junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
And this is Jami, and still in Singapore.
This is Anna.
And Jami is the part where me and you can just sit back and relax and listen to Anna talk about her trip to Mexico. Go.
Oh, really? I get to go first?
No. I'm pretty sure she's going to eat up the whole thing. But go ahead.
I don't think so. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me pull up my notes. I probably should have put up what all the crap I said in the group chat.
I have it written down if you want me to just mention it.
Oh, my God. What crap did I say?
Your first part here. Novice traveler. How early is too early to get to the airport? Because I have a funny story about it.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm not good with numbers. So anything with numbers presented to me, I will mess up. And I messed this up royally because I did not account for the time change. And when I swear I looked at the app and it said, like, you know, boarding is at this time. So, you know, or like, okay, we have to get there like 3 hours early. Well, apparently when I click on it and actually click on it, it was like actually a later time. So the first time we got to the airport about 3 hours and 45 minutes early.
Okay.
Which was like, okay, it wasn't too bad. But
Do they have the equivalent of LAX in Mexico? I mean, 3 hours early?
What?
Wait, are you going to LAX or wait, what?
Which part of the trip is it?
Yeah, which part?
This is the part. So there's more than one airport, Albert.
No, but you're going to Mexico or you're at Mexico?
I'm going to Mexico.
Okay.
And since I'm next to the border, we can just cross over to TJ and fly out from there because it's cheaper.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot you're somewhere else. Not
us. Yeah, I'm in San Diego. So through that, like, the security was pretty, the wait was pretty long just getting through CBX and then going through TJ airport. So funny enough, I thought, I only get pulled aside for secondary inspection in the U.S. because I'm brown. Well, I'm brown and I still got pulled for secondary inspection.
It's your hair.
In TJ.
It's your hair.
So here's the thing. My friend, she is from San Francisco. And the only reason I say that is because she's used to walking a lot. So she walks 20 times faster than me. And so I was running after her because she was walking at a normal pace and I'm much shorter than her and I walk slower. So I was chasing after her. And so by the time I made it to security, I was sweating. I was just a sweaty mess. And I'm just like, wait for me.
You look
wait
nervous.
Yes, I did. Yes, because I was sweating. I was just a hot mess. And so I'm like expecting them to yell at me because, you know, TSA just yells at you.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I need to take off my shoes and I do this. They're like, no, just, you know, put everything there and walk through. So then I walk through and it's like, beep, beep, you know, like you have to get patted down. And so the woman's like, does anything hurt right now? And I was like, no, I'm just really sweaty and flustered. And they're like, okay. And so they checked everything and they're like, all right, you're good to go. And like looking back, I'm like, why were they asking if anything like hurt? And my friend's like, well, yeah, you looked really like flustered and like, you know, your face doesn't hide much. And I was like, oh my God, like, I can't even, like, even in TJ.
But did you go to the TSA people like, hey, point to your skin like, hey, I'm brown.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I'm like, look, I'm brown. You can't do that to me.
Yeah, but I'm like, maybe together, guys. We have to sit together.
Right? Come on, like, man. Come on, people.
Yeah.
I think maybe they thought I was a drug mule or something. That's why they asked me if I was hurting or something. But I'm like, no, I'm just really sweaty. So there was that. So we
it's the only place in the world where you can ask, like, hey, is there something up your butt? What?
Exactly. They could have asked me that and been like, excuse me? I just have to go number two. so also, The dollar was really weak, so I didn't get as much pesos as I would have wanted, but that's okay because I made out like a bandit with only $100, so I was pretty good. It's just like the conversion rate. I was like, what do you mean it's like $40 for a water? Are you kidding me? And then converting it, I'm like, oh, it's only like $2. Okay, that's cool. But my mom said I did get jibbed at one point or another, and my I guess, you know, because I paid like something. She's like, how do people survive? Like, I don't know. I was like, it's airport food, mom. Yeah, I'm going to pay that much for a burger. But it was like, I was really paranoid because I'm like, okay, don't drink the water. Don't drink the ice. But then I would get things with ice and I was totally fine. So I probably have a stomach of steel. I don't know, or whatever. But anyways, so that was there. And then coming back, I had read it wrong again. And this time we got to the airport 4.5 hours early. I was like, my poor friend. I was like, I am so sorry. I did not realize it was saying like the time change and all that. And it's like, we're already here. So we might as well just, we kind of chilled. We went through security and it did take us like 30 minutes to get to our gate because it was on way on the other side of the airport. So, you know, that I guess that was fine because we still had to walk over there, but we ended up taking a nap and all that stuff because it was just a hot mess. And I apologize profusely to my friend because I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just made us do all that. Like, we could have slept like an extra hour. We could have taken our time instead of feeling like we rushed over here. But so Mexico City, I did not have an itinerary. I just had ideas of what I wanted to do. And I don't know, we went on an adventure, which was nice, but I feel like I wanted to do a little, we only had one day. So it was like one day of like seeing things and all that. But I got to see a library that's like, looked really cool. Then we ended up at City Center. But when we get in, oh, by the way, Ubers were so cheap. It was like $4 to go from one end to the other. I'm like, oh my God, I love it here. But they're like, oh, are you going to the concert? And we're like, what concert? Like, Interpol's playing today.
Interpol is playing?
Yeah, they played a free concert, which was like, apparently it was a big, huge deal because they've never played Mexico City. It's at City Center. So, you know, you that's a huge deal. So it kind of messed up my plans because I was really excited to see City Center and it's still there. But, you know, the stage was set up for a concert and all that. So I didn't get to see any of the indigenous like dances that they usually do and all that, like the rituals they have. I was so excited for that. But yeah, we didn't stay for Interpol. I was like a little bit like, I want to stay, but then it was noon. It was super hot. I was like dying of the heat and I don't think we could have stayed there because you had it like everybody was already there camping out waiting for Interpol. So I'm like, I'm not going to spend my whole day here waiting for the band. And then we didn't want to stay out too late across the city. So we just decided to walk around. I did my little bit of shopping around that area, but we just decided it wasn't like the best ideal use of our time if we had to stay in the area. But it was pretty cool. I wish I would have had a little bit more of an itinerary of food spots. But the funny thing is, we got in on Friday night, and the first thing I ate in Mexico City was a Shake Shack burger.
Was it good?
It was actually really good. I'm like, it tastes different. But yeah, we did that because it was right next to the hotel. And we didn't feel safe walking at like at 10:30 at night further down. But we ended up staying in a really good spot. We actually walked around the area the next day and we found some like the hipster. We actually ran into the Asian neighborhood where they had ramen and boba and all that stuff. So it was really cool.
Their
Spanish was better than mine.
Obviously. Wait, hold on. You went straight past Shake Shack. So is there a difference in the taste? Because the meat's got to be different, right?
I tasted a whole lot more delicious. I'll tell you that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe it's because it felt like it was cheaper or whatnot, but it was really good. Like, I mean, I like Shake Shack over In-N-Out, so I would choose them over In-N-Out any day, but this Shake Shack burger was pretty legit. I was very satisfied with it. And I already miss it. I already miss it. Oh, yeah. And
what kind of Asian are we talking about? We're talking a little Chinese, a little Korean. I'm guessing Chinese?
We'll go off by restaurants. There was a Chinese restaurant. There was a ramen restaurant. There was a sushi restaurant. There was a good variety of Asian cuisine.
This was all at Ciudad de Mexico?
Yes. Okay. We were in... I don't remember exactly what neighborhood we were in, Paseo Reforma, I think. But it we were in a little bit more upscale area because we did stay at a 5-star hotel. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was cheap, considering, all things considering, and the service was phenomenal. But it was really hard to communicate sometimes because I'm like, oh, God, what's this word in Spanish? I don't know what it is, but I'm going to fake it till I make it. But everyone was just so nice. It was very interesting to see that. So I had my Shake Shack burger for my first meal and my last meal in Mexico City. Me and my friend, we both speak Spanish, but we were not very good about keeping that front up in public. So most of the time we were really quiet, or we would just look at each other and be like, okay, that's where we want to go. But it was just so hard because we kept reverting back to English. And so people would catch on. And so we were like, we can't keep talking in English because they're going to jack up the prices when they hear the English. And
like, so it was tourists.
Yeah, tourists. And so it's funny because at the taco place where we had lunch, the waiter was really nice. But then at the end, like I had been like, I was kind of like, check, please. But I swear I said it in Spanish. But he was like, you're not from here, are you? And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, we could tell because you said check. And you should not say that. And he was just kind of guiding us on things we shouldn't do. And I was like,
what do you say then? What do you say?
I already forgot the word he said.
Yeah. I discovered, like, when you're traveling and stuff like that, everybody can kind of, like, even if you don't speak and stuff like that, for the most part, they can kind of pick out if you're, what do you call it? If you're ABC, my lingo, ABC or not. You know what I mean?
How you dress. How you dress. Yeah,
absolutely. How you dress, your whole vibe, your whole, like, your haircut, your whole demeanor. But, and also, the other foreigners can also pick up that you're a foreigner, too. You know what I mean? I said, like, hey, what's up to, like, a bunch of Australian, bunch of English people, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, everybody can kind of figure it out. If they really kind of lock in on you, they can kind of tell you if you're a local or not. So,
Oh, yeah. They knew. They just knew. And I was like, well, it's no use in keeping up the pretense. But we did try our best. And we're like, we know Spanish. We can do this. And then I was like, oh, I give up. Especially when they were like, oh, this is like, to be honest, when I was giving them money, I could have been jibbed and I probably wasn't given the right change because I could not calculate it in my head like, oh, I should be getting this amount back. I was just like, here's 200 pesos. I hope I get 40 pesos back, you know?
Yeah.
Amateurs.
Just to pick up a couple of things you've said. Number one, like, as far as like showing up to the airport, I usually like to get there like 2.5 hours early, you know, just to factor in traffic and going, because every airport, it has their own security, like requirements and stuff like that. Like, when I went to Guangzhou, the lady said, I spent the night next to the airport, and she still said, like, hey, be there 2 hours and a half. I'm like, it's right next door, I can walk there. But yeah, I went there 2.5 hours early, and I'm glad I did, because number one, I went to the wrong counter to begin with. Number two, the Guangzhou airport has, like, 2 security checkpoints you have to go through, one immigration, one, like, health security. So it took a long time. So 2.5 hours, and also you have to factor in if you can't read, you miss, like, you know, can't read signs, traffic, and all that stuff. So 2.5 hours, I think it's pretty good. The other point you said, like, doing the math correctly when you skip time zones. One time I went to Hong Kong, and I screwed up the time zone, and I didn't have a hotel room. What do you think of that?
That's oh, my God, what?
Wow.
That's a real screw up.
Wow.
I show up, I give them my paper, and they gave it back and said, yo, man, this appointment, this your reservations for tomorrow, dude. Like, what? What? So we called around trying to find me a room, couldn't find it. I actually had to stay at my in-laws that one, my former in-laws. So that's number two. And number three, I think just like a philosophy, I thought like the correct currency or change or the just use or something like that. I think people have to go in with the expectation of just having some losses. You know what I mean? You can't win it all. You can't, you know, be expected to win every exchange or anything like that. You know what I mean? So you have to pick your battles, pick your fights and stuff like that. You know what I mean? If it's like a couple of dollars here and there, if it's not going to make a big difference in your personal life when you get back to America, your lifestyle, you know what I mean? It's fine. Yeah, just let it go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I looked at my credit card bill because, you know, I paid for the Ubers and all that. And I'm like, $4 for that Uber?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay, I'll take it.
But I remember seeing this one viral video where this lady got into a fight. Her kid got such a haircut, and they charged him more by a few bucks. I forgot what the details were. And she was like traveling outside the states, and it was like a big fight, a big stuff like that. Just, don't do that. Don't be like that. You know what I mean?
No.
You just have to go in with some expectation of taking L's here and there. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Oh yeah. But, no, I was totally fine with it. This
last trip, I went to, like I said, the Guangzhou Security Airport, and they red flagged the battery pack I had. The battery pack I just bought. I spent like $40 on it, $50 on it. And it was like oversized. It was like a huge battery pack. It was actually made more for camping than anything else. I purchased it wrong. But anyway, they red flagged it at 2 security checkpoints, and they said, oh, we're going to keep it. I said, you're going to keep it? I got so pissed. I'm like, I checked it through a bunch of different airports, so it gets red flagged here. Like, what's going on? And then it was a whole thing. I got super pissed, but still, at some point, I had to let it go. You know what I mean? Just walk away. You know what I mean? So
Pretty much. Yeah, we just had to walk away and stuff, which was fine. I wasn't too mad about anything, but it was just interesting. At least in the area where we were like 5 different Starbucks on each corner. I'm like, all right, we know where we're at. We're in a good spot. I just could go to Starbucks anywhere. But it was really interesting just to see the differences, like even the Starbucks and Shake Shack, the things that they had exclusive for Mexico. And I'm like, ooh, exclusive. Here we go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was very cool. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. Also, my hair was not an outlier because there were a lot of people out there with pink hair.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, I'm going to look so different. And then I show up and I don't look different at all. I look just like run-of-the-mill, another person there. Especially when we were in City Center with the people waiting for Interpol. Yeah, I fit right in. I fit right in with my hair. So I was like, okay, yay. But I thought I dressed conservative, but I think I got catcalled.
I mean, that's nice. Yeah, like
yay. Yeah, I guess. I just, that doesn't happen here. I don't know. It was weird. I was like, wait, did that really happen? Like, he just leaned out of his truck, and I was like, oh my god, what the hell? So it was very interesting because there, I mean, here, even like anybody who speaks Spanish or whatever, they'll be like, oh, señora, and I'm like, I don't look that old. But then there, I was like, señorita. I was like, yay, I feel young again. Thank you for acknowledging that I'm not old.
I mean, that's the correct time to use it anyway. I mean, you look young enough to be a señorita, not a señora.
That's what I thought. But here, even the homeless guy at Superless calls me señora.
That's bizarre.
Yes, I'm just like, why am I señora here? But over there, I was señorita and muchacha, and I was like, I will take it. Thank you very mucho. I was very happy about that. But overall, I don't know. I felt it was oddly comforting, and I did not feel unsafe at all. And everybody was telling me, you're going to get pickpocketed, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. Like, we were really, really actually legitimately very, like, concerned because everybody was just like, you got to hold on to your stuff. And I did have an anti-theft purse, but I felt like I could have gone with a regular purse and been fine just because seeing the locals, like, everybody was out with their electronics, their jewelry, nice clothing or nice whatever, and they were fine. I'm like, okay, like, I mean, obviously because we're tourists, we're gonna get pinpointed a little bit more, but I felt really safe. And I wish I would have taken more pictures and videos, but because I was like, my phone has to stay hidden, I didn't really do much. But overall, I did feel really like safe and great. And Mexico City was pretty amazing.
What do you mean your phone has to stay hidden? I mean, they have,
because they would pickpocket,
but they have it. I guess, but I mean, they have smartphones in Mexico too, right?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Everybody had a smartphone. Everyone had one. But it was just this thing, like, I mean, I think because, like, even my friend's, like, family and, like, my family were just, like, so concerned, like, don't go. It's bad. You're going to get kidnapped. Two, you're going to get pickpocketed. Like, something bad is going to happen. And that's the consistent, like, scenario or viewpoints that we get told, because they're like, you're so innocent, you don't know what's up, you're gonna get jibbed, whatever, you're gonna get scammed. But being there, I felt really comfortable. There was a part in our adventure, because we were trying to get some money that a friend of a friend had sent over to my friend, and we were going to all these OXOs, which are like 7-Elevens, but like, and so we were trying to get the money. And so we ended up in a, in deep, deep downtown Mexico City, which is not a tourist location. Let me just tell you that. And it was packed. It was very dense with people. And at one point or another, we never felt unsafe. I was like, oh, this is just like downtown LA. I'm cool. We're good. Just, you know, everyone's so distracted and busy, and there's people selling things on the street and everything. And it was totally fine. I did not feel worried at all.
That's good.
Yeah, we were just kind of like, we have to get out of downtown anyways because we need to call an Uber. But because it was getting so busy and packed because of the concert that was going to happen, we just had to keep walking. And we walked like 5 miles. Like, just, we just kept walking and kept going. And we're like, all right, we kind of know the general sense of direction we need to go. And we would kind of like go into a corner and pull out our phone and just check our map. But other than that, we were just like, all right, we know where we're going. Let's call an Uber. We feel safe here. I think we stopped at a bank or whatever, and that's where we called our Uber. And we were like, all right, let's go back to the hotel.
Do you know how many how many people showed up for the Interpol concert?
Oh, God, it was pretty packed.
I have the number.
How many?
Oh, here's the part where I guess. Javeng? Okay.
20,000.
Okay. Anna?
Yeah, I'm going to go with like 25,000.
According to this article, it's 160,000.
Oh, my goodness.
That's too many people.
That's a lot. It's a free concert. Yeah, it's a free concert.
That's too many people.
Yeah, it was a lot. I kind of have FOMO, and I really wish I would have stayed. And there were some bands playing while we were there, but I don't know. I don't think I've been able to handle that in a foreign city, with a lot of people. I don't know, 100,000 people. That's very daunting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's way too many people, man.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to be around 100,000 people in America and stuff like that. That's just too many. People.
I know. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's just not for me.
It's so dense. I don't know. I felt like home. It is home. It's part of who I am, and stuff. So it was really cool to kind of have that homecoming. And I felt like I was in a Lizzie McGuire movie, you know, like I was like, oh my God, kind of thing. But I really enjoyed it, and I really wish I would have had more time to eat more food and do all that. But we really did. One of the things I wanted to not do is end up in like the very gentrified spots of Mexico City. So where we stayed was perfect. Some of the salsas were not as spicy as I thought they would be, but that's fine. That's okay. I still enjoyed all the food, but I wanted to experience Mexico. I didn't want to experience the gentrified, rich people areas of Mexico City that are now overflowing with gringos.
Was this your first time in Mexico City?
In Mexico City, yeah.
Okay, but you've been to different parts of Mexico before.
When I was very little. So as an adult where I can remember, this will be my first time being back in Mexico.
Yeah. Interesting. Because I have the opposite reaction when I come to China. I use this joke a million times. Albert heard this in the past. But 5 minutes when I'm back in China, Hong Kong, whatever, I get the feeling like, hey, man, there's a lot of Chinese people around. There's a lot of chinks around. I got to get out of here.
There's a lot of Mexicans around. I will say this.
I'm very westernized. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't need to be around that many Chinese people. It's all right. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a different they move at a different pace than I do, is what I'll say. You know what I mean?
They do. It is at least I agree with that, because where I was at, it was a different pace of life. But I think I could do it if it ever came down to it one day. I think I could do it. I loved it. I don't know. It was very nice to see that.
And also to go back to what you said about visiting a foreign city, a different language, some of that, and being safe. My basic philosophy is like, what do you call it? Just have very situational awareness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keep your head up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't go around for ladies. Don't go around with a person. So just get a fanny pack. Throw all that stuff in a fanny pack and keep it in front of you and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Arms around. And don't do anything that you wouldn't do in America, in the sense that, like, if you don't go out in the middle of the night in America and wander the streets of your city, don't do that in a foreign country. You know what I mean? Same places that are well lit, touristy, you know, a lot of people around. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just common sense. And all that stuff about, like, your parents or your friends telling you, like, oh, it's dangerous, don't you do this? You know, it's the same idea, like, hey, you don't live your life by the worst thing that could happen, that possibly happen. You know what I mean? Every day we go driving, even though we know there's car accidents, people getting, you know, all that stuff. You know what I mean? That's, you don't live your life like that. You can't live your life in total and absolute fear. You know what I mean? And Mexico City is a big metropolitan city. It's a big touristy city. And stuff like that. You're not going to some weird, like, border town that's, you know, for drug mules, some of that. It's okay. Sometimes people can relax a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I was like, I was telling my friend, I was like, dang, like, looking at that and coming back here, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've done a lot more. I've been in more dangerous situations here. Like, mm-hmm. You know, coming home in an Uber super drunk where I'm not aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm like, I should be more worried about that. Or like, there's a homeless guy that sneaks into my complex every single time someone opens the gate. So me going to the mailroom is way more, it can be a little bit more dangerous if I choose to go at 10:30 at night. So I'm just like,
one of the last like news articles I read before I came out here was like, there was a conviction of a guy it was a road rage incident, right? And he shot somebody's kid during a road rage incident. Like, that sort of thing, that is what should scare people in America. You know what I mean? Gun, road rage, easy access to gun. You know what I mean? Just worry about your own country. You know? Don't worry about other people. You know what I mean? Just take care of your own stuff. You know what I mean?
Right?
It's fine.
It was fun. Yeah. Oh, and I love how in Mexico, lights and right of way and directions on the road were just suggestions. So
I think a lot of countries are like that.
It's like that. But my friend has reached, it's everywhere, right? It's the US too.
But, in China, stuff like that.
Yeah. We almost got squished between two buses and my friend was like reaching over and I'm like, oh, like, did we almost die? Maybe. It's okay.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was the roundabout thing in Mexico City. I could never navigate that in my life. So I'm good if I never drive there. But it was fun being in the taxi navigating that roundabout.
Okay.
So it was great.
Is that your Mexico City story?
Yeah, that is my story of going to Mexico City as a Mexico girl.
All right.
From America.
All right. Well, in that case, thanks for listening. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well at Albert5x5.
You can find me on social media, JAMNGLOU.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage or on my other show, Most Extreme Ranking Challenge.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found on whowhatwearswhy.com. Before we go, let's give our 13 listeners some recommendations for this week. Jamming?
Yeah. I binge watched two shows during my trip. The first, both from Apple TV, actually. The first one is the completely made-up adventures of Dick Turpin. I believe it's called. It's six episodes, 30 minutes each, and it's about highway robbers or stagecoach robbers in England in the 1700s, and it's very much in the same tradition. The same tradition as sort of like Monty Python, Mel Brooks, where it's like a period piece, but they use contemporary language and contemporary jokes and stuff like that. It's the kind of TV show where they don't do anymore. It's the kind of humor they don't do anymore. You know what I mean? Like I said, the Monty Python type, the Mel Brooks type of, even Zucker and what's this duo that did the airplane movies? Zuckerberg and Abrams, whatever it is. You know, it's just zany comedy and stuff like that. It's really good. It's good times. You know what I mean? I like it a lot. And the other one is Constellation. It's recommended by Ruthie and Albert. And I don't think I liked it as much as Ruthie did and stuff like that. Mm. I don't know how much Albert liked it, but it seems like it was good though. It's watchable and stuff like that. But it just seems like, hey, I know where this is going. You know what I mean? It's like talking to your friends, like, hey, we'll go to this restaurant, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, we all know we're going to this one place. You know what I mean? It's like, we all know, I knew where this thing was going. It's like, I think we can get there a little bit faster. But it's a good TV show though. I liked it. So anyway, those are my two recommendations.
All right, Dick Turpin and Constellation on Apple TV Plus.
I would recommend a Dick Turpin one. It's really good.
All right, Anna.
I would like to recommend a movie I saw a week ago, but I didn't get to recommend it because we were on break.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I don't know if it's already been recommended, so I apologize if this is a repeat. But I watched Monkey Man. A movie directed by Dev Patel, my future husband. I liked it a lot. I had a lot of fun. It's definitely not what like the trailer is, you know, Indian John Wick.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
It was a lot more, and I think for his first directorial debut, it was really good. Also, he took a huge risk, including a marginalized demographic of the Indian community that is very easily will alienate him from most of the people watching the movie. But I love that he did that, and he put a spotlight on it. So good for him. You know, he's really pushing boundaries. But
I think that's the best part of the movie, actually. That part of it, the fact that they're not taking shit from anybody without spoiling too much. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, I loved it. Like when it came to that, I was like, wait, what? What just happened? Oh my god, I'm here for it. So I love Dev Patel. Yeah. I love seeing one of the female leads. I love seeing her in a Hollywood film. I think she's pretty great. She doesn't get a lot of spotlight in Bollywood because, you know, she's not a nepo baby. I think she's not a nepo baby, but it was cool to see her and the bad guy. It's cool to see him in a Hollywood movie too. He's a very good bad guy. It was a good movie. I thought it was. I know it's a polarizing opinion. I got a lot of not so happy messages on Instagram when I posted my story about it, but that's okay. I had a good time. I enjoy Dev Patel and anything he does. I think that he did a good job for his first time, because, heck, if it was my first time directing a movie, it probably wouldn't be any good. So good for him. You know, I can't be like, oh, I could do better, because I know I can't. So good for him. Go watch the movie.
You know the backstory on how Monkey Man went to movies, right?
Netflix passed on it, and Universal paid $10 million for it. That's all I know.
Yeah, Jordan Peele kind of helped. Rescue it from Netflix, because Netflix was pretty much going to shelve it, essentially, because something about the production company went out of business or something like that, and Netflix was like, well, I guess we're not going to do anything with it anymore. So,
oh my god. That's so frustrating. That I think it needed to be out there, and I'm glad it did. I'm glad I watched it. I think the people who did watch it, I hope it opens up like their worldview of Indian cinema and all that. And it was kind of fun watching, hearing one of my favorite Bollywood films be used in an action sequence. So, you know, it's fun. I liked it.
Okay. My recommendation involves the tech, how do you call it? Tech personality, YouTuber, Instagrammer, TikToker, Marques Brownlee. Are you guys familiar with the card guy? Mm-hmm. MKBHD.
I know about the story, actually.
You do?
Yeah, I actually know the story.
You do? There's a story. Oh, there is a story. You're right. You know, yeah. I guess I wasn't gonna recommend that one, but I will also recommend that one. Mm-hmm. I guess the story was that he reviewed this AI, not AI. It was like a personal video thingy, come above. And I guess.
Oh, this, I wasn't thinking about the story. But go ahead. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So essentially, he reviewed this product, right? And let me look at it real quick, because that wasn't what I was gonna talk about, but. But he reviewed it's either the worst product I've ever reviewed for now. Essentially, doesn't have the name on it. But anyways, so a lot of people are saying that it's his fault that the company like lost a lot of like stocks, essentially, because of his review. And I don't know why he was, I mean, yeah, he's popular. He's a popular tech reviewer, but people make reviews for many products and talk shit about them all the time, you know. So it's like the fact that people were like targeting him, like, oh, it's your fault that this company's in trouble now because of your review. It's a little disingenuous for people to complain about that. So yeah, I'll go ahead and put the link for that one on the show notes as well. But what I actually wanted to mention is to recommend is this other video that he did roughly 2 weeks ago, and the title is the iPhone illegal? Right, so he does a video blog about the walled garden, blah 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 blah, all that stuff. It's an interesting thing. If you listeners never really considered about the difference between the iPhone walled garden and everybody else, this is a good video. This is a good video that explains it. If I was to answer the question, my answer would be no. I don't think it is illegal, but he does bring up some really good points on why the governments are now like attacking Apple for the things that we're doing. So it's worth a watch. So you guys should check that out. All right. And there we go.
Yeah. And the story I was real quick, the story I was thinking about is like he also reviewed the electric car company Fisker.
Yeah.
The title of that video, yeah, this is the worst electric I ever reviewed. Was the worst car I ever reviewed.
Yep.
And then their subsequently their stock tanked. It was like $1.30 before and went down to like pennies afterwards and stuff like that. And it's one of those things where the company was already in trouble. It was already at the edge. It's just that his reviews were kind of like 5 million with 10 million views, something like that. So like pushed it over the edge and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And also that's the first point. The second point is I've seen some of his previous videos. He's a very thoughtful, very intelligent, very measured person, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's not like he's doing this like hit job. He's being insincere or anything like that, not thoughtful and stuff like that. So they could get off his ass and stuff like that. If your stock tanks after one of his reviews, it's mostly because it's already teetering or has previous issues. You know what I mean? It's like this, like Fisker, for example, was like this pristine, was this almighty company before his review. It was already very deep, deep trouble before. So yeah, no, anyway, that's my concern.
Agreed. He's one of my favorite tech reviewers online, and he actually, I guess the backlash was enough that he actually did do a review called "Do Bad Reviews Kill Companies?" So he actually does talk about that.
Yeah,
that's worth a listen. I'll put it in the show notes. So yeah, there we go. All right. This was episode 762 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who What Where's Why production. And Jiaming, how many hours do you have until you have to go to the airport to come back here?
Oh my God. Right now, it's 15 minutes till 10. My flight takes off at 1:35. So the boarding cover at 1 o'clock. So I'll probably leave around now. I get there by 10:30, I think, just before 10:30. So I have plenty of time.
And how long is your flight back to LA?
Oh, sorry. I think I have two flights. I have to go from Singapore to Taiwan, Taiwan to Ontario. I believe I land in Ontario your time tomorrow at 6:30, I believe.
Ah, see, I was going to ask, like, did you actually use LAX or you paid extra for the Ontario?
it's not so much the money in Ontario, but it's just the time. Yeah. You have to make extra stuff. It's tiring, exhausting, but I still want to avoid LAX as much as I can. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, avoid LAX as much as possible. It's a nightmare. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I flew out of TJ.
That's why I'm still going to. Excuse me, I'm burping right now. But I'm an Ontario person. I think I'm going to stick with it and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Well, listeners, next episode will be our summer movie wager episode. It's going to be an extra episode next week.
It's a summer movie wager.
I haven't finalized.
Are we
go on.
Are we recording it this weekend?
That's the plan. It's going to be this Saturday. That's what we're recording, yes.
Oh, I was going to say something about Mexico.
Oh, go ahead, Anna. This is after credits anyway, so go ahead. Toss it in.
The craziest thing to realize in Mexico, when you were in the more affluent areas of Mexico, there were a ton of posters for all these movies that are coming out, which I thought was pretty cool. But if you got deeper and deeper to the not-so-affluent areas, there were no posters whatsoever.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay. That's right. So interesting. But yeah, I saw a ton of for Fall Guy, which Fall Guy is not translating Fall Guy in Spanish. I think it's something professional. What is that movie with Ryan Reynolds and John Krasinski?
If? How did it translate if to?
Oh my God. It was just imaginary friends in Spanish.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Fallout is Fallout. It's fine. You know, that one didn't need translating, I guess. Mm. But no, it was really cool just to see all the posters. I was like, oh, wow. Like, you that's another thing that, you know, obviously everything is just there immediately available for everyone. But it was very cool to see the transition from posters to no posters.
This could be like a future game that we play where we try and guess what the Chinese title is of the American movie. Because you see that produces pretty hilarious results. Yeah.
And also to pick up what Anna said, it's basically Anna's kind of talking about the disadvantages of a metropolitan city and a population, stuff like that. You can see it in Singapore too. It is a very rich and affluent thing, and you know everybody's seeing Crazy Rich Asian, right? And then the people that made that movie got shit on because at one point the girls got scared by these dark dark people that I think they're from India and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true here. You can tell that the I'm gonna say Indian, but I know India is a very large country, very low, lot of subcultures and blah blah blah. Anyway, I recognize that. And anyway, you can tell the working class here are dark skinned and from that part, a different part of the country, stuff like that. And you can tell why some people they were legitimate and rightfully upset about that sort of stereotype about being scared of it. You can there is an obvious like. Economic hierarchy and stratosphere here.
Oh yeah, you know
what I mean? Yeah.
But you know the funny thing is, one of my friends went to Mexico City last year, and I had asked like, "Oh, what's your feedback?" She is American. She, you know, is American. If you get my drift. And one of her big complaints, well, first of all, I think Mexico City did not meet her expectations. But one of her complaints was everything looked the same. Like there was no distinction between affluent and not affluent areas. And I could see the stark difference. It was very obvious.
Yeah. And you just have to look.
You just have to
kind of pick up the vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, well, I wanted to text her and be like, girl, you crazy. Cause even I could just tell by the posters, but.
No, you're supposed to say, chica, you loco.
Yeah, loca.
Yeah, I'll just tell you right now. You know that that hotel, that famous Marina Bay Hotel in Singapore, Three Towers, the Infinity Pool. I walked there yesterday and stuff like that. And like I said, you can tell the economic difference. The people that work in those hotels they're outside the hotels on their cigarette break and their lunch break. You can tell that. Yeah, they're very dark skinned and not from quote unquote here and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I clearly am the help in Mexico City as well, so it doesn't help because I'm dark skinned.
And the thing is, like, if you're American, and you know what kind of American I'm talking about, you have to pay attention. When you visit other countries, you can pick up the vibe. You can kind of see what you look for.
Anyway. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. There you go. Next episode. Summer movie wager. Who won last time? Was it Jiaming?
It was not me either.
Was it Anna?
Because he cheated?
Yeah.
Derek. No. It wasn't Derek either, right?
It wasn't me. It was Mike, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right. Geekdom Fancast's first win.
Yeah, that's right. Derek, he was mad.
Yeah. But let me tell you something. Even though I did not win last time, I will still go into this year's match with the same arrogance. The same and confidence and a completely unfound confidence too. You know what I mean?
Would be interesting because there's only like what 15 or 16 wide releases this summer. It was something like that.
During my trip, I did glance at the list, and to the people who said there's too much MCU content, there's too much comic book content and stuff like that. Hey, F you. Have you seen movies on this year's summer list? Come on, man.
It's so short.
Come
on. Yeah.
It's so short compared to past years.
Yeah.
I can't guess.
Looking back at what you guys just mentioned, that movie, If, that movie looks terrible. I saw that show. It looks like a rejected idea from Pixar. Come on, man.
Pixar, it's a live action movie.
It's going to be good.
Wait. If is a live action movie. What do you mean Pixar?
It looks like a rejected idea from Pixar is what I meant. You know what I mean? It looks like an idea that they had that was an anime, but it's... But they got turned down back in the 2000s. It looks dumb. You know what I mean? And I love the monkey movies and stuff like that, but do we really need another Planet of the Apes?
You did not just call it the monkey movies.
Yeah. You're okay.
The name is Planet of the Apes. Come on. Me and Anna saw footage of this at WonderCon, and it looks good.
Yeah, even I, who don't watch the monkey movies, want to go see it.
Yeah.
And do we need another Mad Max? Again, I haven't seen the trailer for this comedy so far.
Furiosa!
Do we need a Mad Max movie?
Furiosa, come on!
Here is my worry about the Furiosa movie, okay? And I'm going to say it now, and I'm going to say it a million times.
Where is Charlize?
I'm really worried that George Miller already forgot the lore that he implemented about Furiosa's backstory. And I'm going to be so pissed off if that is true, confirmed. Yeah. Because... that's a whole new other
I don't get why he decided not to make a sequel instead of why he decided to make a prequel.
It's a prequel.
I know that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't understand the prequel of it all. Why not make a sequel with Charlize? I don't know.
But I don't know why we need a Joker 2 that's a musical.
Well, I mean,
it's a musical, so it kind of like at least does it differently.
I think that's the stupidest thing, and I still want to wake up from this nightmare.
Is that a summer movie?
I haven't seen a trailer.
Wait, is that a summer movie?
It's October.
Okay, it's not a summer movie thing. All right.
No, it's not a summer movie. We're fine, but I still want to pretend all it's I know, never going to happen.
All I know is I'm going to kind of struggle with the list and stuff like that.
I can't imagine.
We are going to be
10 plus 3 Dark Horses. Is that what it is?
Yeah, 10 plus 3 Dark Horses. And it's going to be the majority of the wide release movies. So,
yeah.
We'll see. All right.
I don't get it.
Okay.
Do we think any movie is going to make $1 billion?
No.
Yes. Wolverine. Deadpool Wolverine.
I still
don't give me hopes, because that was one of my predictions for 2024.
I mean, it's a rated R movie.
I think it's gonna make a lot of money. I haven't seen the latest trailer, but the first one looked really good. You know what I mean? So
okay, all right, we'll save that conversation for the next episode,
yeah,
and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
All right, listeners. Until then, bye.
Peace out.